This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and stuff. Tim, let's have a chat about what we're going to be covering tonight. We want to know, in the modern world of dating, speed dating, do first impressions count? That's what we're going to try and find out tonight. So do first impressions count?
Do you judge a book by their cover?
Exactly. And, you know, while we get the boys in... Tim, why don't you go grab the boys? And we are going to be finding out all about do first impressions count, as we said. You know, the impact of dating apps nowadays. You know, what do you say on a first date? What comes first? Do you just have sex on the first date? Do you talk to them much beforehand? This is where we want your input. So we want to find out from you guys as well, what is dating nowadays all about? Is it just about the apps or is it about other stuff? You know, so we'll see what happens after we have the chat. Now, also, we are also a bit later on going to be talking very briefly about the Prep Forum. The Prep Forum is coming up on Tuesday, the 22nd of September at the Herbert Smith Freehills, Level 42, 101 Collins Street in Melbourne. So that is coming up next week, but we'll give you a bit more details about that later on. Now, Tim, we have, as we said, quite a few single boys in the studio tonight.
We have a gaggle of gays in the studio.
Gaggle of gays. Tonight. That's right. We have Stephen.
Hey, how's it going?
We have Craig.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hi.
Hello, boys. Welcome to Hide and Seek. Now,
make yourself comfortable, guys.
Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, how comfortable.
Look, whatever works for you.
Yes. We haven't put any warning signs on the studio door, so you do need to stay clothed at the moment. So, guys, you all single? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Very.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so, dating in the modern world, is it all about the apps?
I'd say it's 50-50.
50-50?
Yeah, so like...
Matt, why do you say that?
Well, for me, sort of like, if I'm at home, I'll have a look on the apps. But if I'm sort of out, I'm more sort of out talking to people and talking to friends and seeing what friends of mine have cute friends.
So do you get more dates from apps or from, say, friends of friends and that sort of thing?
I would say I get...
And I don't mean sex.
Yeah, I would say I get hookups from apps, but dates is through friends of friends.
And Craig, what's your experience?
I'd say that I get more dates from friends of friends only because I don't really look for dates on apps.
Okay. And if someone asked you out on a date on an app, are you likely to say yes?
Yeah, definitely. I love dating. I love going on first dates. It's one of my favourite things to do.
Ah. What about you, Steve?
Love the apps. Yep. I'm of that generation where I came of age with Grindr on in my hand while I was at home in the parents' house, sneaking out at night, etc. So yeah, love the apps. And the thing with Grindr and Scruff, etc. It's about what you put out there as well, rather than what you take from it. So if you put out good vibes, if you look for the right things, then you're going to get awesome experiences. Or a couch. I've got a couch off Grindr before.
A couch.
Yeah. Seriously, you see classifieds on there, people like looking for jobs. Like it's become a little marketplace.
I tried to get someone to fix my bench, but I think
it's more than that. So what's the protocol nowadays of getting a date as opposed to getting sex off an app? Let's start there. How do you steer a conversation away from just it being about who's going to blow who? And into the territory of it being a conversation that is potentially the beginning of a relationship.
Personally, I schmooze them and give them lots of compliments that aren't...
Schmooze, isn't that sex? Is that sex that you schmoozed all over them or is that a different...
That's oozed.
Oh,
sorry. but, lots of compliments that aren't like sex based, you know, like, oh, you're so sweet, you know, you're so funny, and all those, you know, you're so smart.
You even know, if you don't mean it?
No, you got to mean them. You can't schmooze someone and not mean it. That's not nice.
So you're very sincere when you say these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all about, yeah, you kind of got to, you put out, like Steve said, you know, you got to...
Put out.
Well, you know... You
finish that sentence.
You got to put out the vibes you would like to get back and things like that. So, you know, if you want a date, then you can make small talk or conversation. You can talk about politics or other things. Ooh. Like philosophy and, you know, what they do for work. Do they have any hobbies? There's like a plethora of things that you can talk about that aren't, you know, sex-based.
So, are there things that you wouldn't talk about? Like, politics is a bit of a
I would
scary
not,
one.
I don't think I would talk about religion, personally.
Religion?
Yeah.
And what about you, Steve? What wouldn't you talk about?
I think anything is up for talking. I tend to talk too much. And
you're
too
quite
personally.
Political, so would you talk politics?
Absolutely. And, like, yeah. I'm capable of debating and having, like, a rigorous discussion or sometimes argument and not take it personally or not make it personal about them. Like, I'd much rather something really deep and interesting and actually figure out that this person has a brain on their shoulders rather than just sort of talk niceties. So, you know, I don't mind a bit of rough and tumble in the discussion zone.
Has it ever backfired when you've brought those things up?
Yeah, whenever they're a Liberal voter, it's just a... No offense, but just I don't think it would align very well. But, you know, it's not a blanket rule.
And Matt, what's your experience there?
Well, in terms of things I wouldn't talk about, it's mostly religious, mainly because I grew up in a very religious family, so I know how touchy that topic can be. But outside that, most of the conversations, in general, they've been pretty good. And I'm sort of like with Craig, sort of like, if you want to avoid it being a sex talk, you always ask them lots of questions about them and try and learn about them to show that you're actually interested in them as a person rather than just interested in them for the next 10 minutes.
And guys, what would be your perfect date?
Someone whose visa is running out in 2 weeks.
So you have a type?
I definitely have a type, the temporary type. A bit of a language barrier is always really good.
So you can learn things or so you they don't talk too much?
Oh, so you know, just play dumb a bit and just romance. Everyone loves a quick romance. I don't know.
A holiday romance.
Yeah. It's a staycation because you've got someone foreign, but you're in your own town. So you sort of, you know, experience that. And you sort of, I get to revisit every time, like, I fall in love with a new European man or South American and I show them around town. It's almost like being brand new in my own city. It's kind of, sort of, it's thrilling.
You're like a tour guide.
Yeah, lots of tours.
So in those conversations, and it can be through your texting or whatever, and, well, actually, one question. Do you stay on the app or do you exchange phone numbers?
I would prefer not to exchange phone numbers until we know whether we are going to meet because I've had some, we'll say, strange experiences when they've had my phone number and I've been tempted to change my phone number.
Craig, what about you?
No, I prefer to give out my phone number. I'm not on the apps regularly enough to really form any kind of, you know, relationship with them, friendship or otherwise. So I definitely prefer to be, you know, kind of with my phone number because it's a lot more reliable for me.
And what about text or talk?
I think you start with the text and you sort of get a gist. But I don't know. You can actually tell a lot about someone from their voice, I think.
You can. Yes.
You can. Yeah. You know, with me, people might go running, screaming because I can hear that my wrists are flapping in the background. That's only when I get someone who's mask for mask on their profile. But, you know, we tend to avoid those.
Mascara.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I can remember a time many years ago where, yes, the conversation on the text line was fantastic and then speak on the phone, it's like, oh.
I'd have to be very interested in someone to talk to them. I don't like talking on a phone at the best of times.
Yeah.
So, for me to call or for someone to say, can I call you, and me to say yes, it would be, I'm very interested and I would meet you within 5 minutes for a date.
And Matt?
I'm actually quite like Craig. I find it very hard to talk to people on the telephone that I don't know very well. The only time I'm really good at it is when I'm abusing them, but that's what I do for a job. Because I have a high-powered job, so quite often I'm ringing up people saying, what the F you're doing? But if it's trying to get to know someone, I'm really bad on the telephone. So I like to get to know them on a text before I start talking to them on the phone.
You're on Hot and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are speaking about first impressions, really. First impressions while dating. And we've got Matt, Craig and Steve in the studio. If you want to get in touch, let us know, 0427-JOY-949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Guys, okay, so let's say, assuming that the chat online primarily has gone well, where do you go on a first date?
My favourite first date is a drive-in, even though I don't have a car.
So they have to have a car?
They have to have a car, or I try and borrow a friend's. And I love it because you can go and watch a movie and you can get food and you can talk all the way through the movie and you don't disturb anyone else. It's my favourite first date.
Could you Uber to a drive-in?
probably if the Uber driver's a date.
Oh, that's fun. That's a new market.
So drive-in. Matt, what about you?
I'm a little bit old-fashioned. So, like, any combination of cocktail bar, wine bar, dinner, movie, a long walk somewhere where you can just sort of talk. Doesn't have to be expensive. Just somewhere where it's just you two. The one place I would not go on a date, especially one of the first dates, is a gay bar. You're not there to see other gay guys. You're there to just meet
you
that
don't
one
want
guy.
Distractions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good. Steven?
I go one of two ways. I either like, Abbotsford Convent is just perfect for dates. And I'm pretty sure the people at Lentil is anything, like, see me with a different person every couple of weekends. It's just beautiful because, yeah, you can get to walk around the gardens and sort of have a really lovely time. And you can roll around in the grass if you really want to. Otherwise, if I'm planning on testing them, I invite them out for Vietnamese. And if they can't pronounce pho, then it's a no-go.
And who pays?
Whoever gets to it first, I think. I don't know. Like, some people say there's an age rule, but I don't think that's really right. Or financial ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it a case of you fight over the bill? Is that ever happened? Or
do you go half-half?
Half-half.
I think your default should always be half-half, unless the other person offers. But I'm the person of... The person offers, you refuse. If they offer again, then you say, okay, sure.
Okay.
I say that to my mother.
And guys, so the key ingredients, what it sounds like, is that you need a space where you can talk. Yeah? Rather than, apart from the movies. Now, we always see movies and...
No, hang on, the drive-in where you can talk.
Who talks at the drive-in?
No, drive-in, yeah.
I do, because... Yeah. Exactly.
What else would you be doing?
Very steamy windows, Titanic style.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Our relationship therapist, Dr. Chris Fox, will be joining us very, very shortly. If you have got a question, let us know, 0427-JOY-949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
On Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, you are with sex life therapist, Dr. Christopher Fox.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, and a bit of a blast from the past tonight. We've got Andrew and Tim with you tonight, but on the line, all the way up in Brisbane, is Dr. Chris Fox. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you both?
Very well. Are you at the ASHM conference?
I'm at the ASHM conference, yes. I've done STIs this week and I'm about to do HIV conference.
Well, here on, if you tune in to Joy tomorrow at midday, Dean Beck is doing a lot of stuff about what's happening up in Brisbane at the ASHM conference, and we'll probably be covering a fair bit of it here on Hide and Seek next week. So, has it been a good conference?
It has been a good conference, yes. Yes, a wonderful conference.
So, Chris, we have a plethora of guys in the studio. We have Matt, Craig and Stephen, and they're all single and ready to mingle. And
right,
we're trying to get some ideas about first dating and first impressions and whether first impressions count. As a relationship therapist, how much does the does first impressions count, really?
I think first impressions count a lot. I mean, you know, I was just listening to the show before, and there was the guys were talking about apps and using them and not using them yet. You know, we make a decision on the apps whether we're going to talk to someone based on their photo or on that first impression, on that first couple of pages. And, you know, I think if we look back in time before apps, when we use internet dating, internet sites, it was the same thing. But even when we meet face-to-face, that first impression is really important to deciding whether we're going to go any further, which at one level is a bit shallow, but yet on another level, it's all we've got to go with.
I remember before that they had ASL, age, sex, location, and then we judged people on that without a photo.
Yeah, age, sex, location, it's still about, well, making that judgment on first impression about, well, age, sex, location. God, that's really old, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. I'm showing my age.
I'm feeling very old at the moment. That was the beginning of the internet.
So, Chris, what are the key building blocks in those initial conversations that help establish a good relationship?
Ooh, good one, Andrew. It's listening to each other and actually making a connection. And it's whether we trigger that interest right from the beginning. So if we're talking about, we look at somebody, we think, attractive, and then the next thing, if we go to interact with them and they don't say the right thing in the right way, that can be a negative for some people. The other thing I always find interesting when working with people and talking about first dates is the awkwardness we experience and how we manage to overcome that awkwardness at times.
Do you think some of those problems arise from overthinking, perhaps?
For some people, they do, but not for everyone.
Okay.
Some people are just comfortable in communicating with people. Others do actually get quite anxious. It's something I see not on an infrequent basis in the practice.
And
how do we meet someone?
Yeah, and would you concur with what the guys were saying? It's in meeting someone face to face for the first time, it needs to be somewhere where a conversation can really happen.
I think it does need to be where a conversation can happen. And of course, it's also got to be somewhere where it's safe for both parties. You know, somewhere public, somewhere that's safe, somewhere where conversation can happen. You know, meeting first time in a noisy environment can make it really, really hard to begin the conversation. But then that being said, it still doesn't mean that, you know, meeting in a club or a pub or a noisy environment or even a sex environment still doesn't mean a connection can't happen and people move forward.
And what are some of the ways, and we know this, you know, even if we're going for a job interview, we behave in a certain way. How much do people change their behaviour at a first face-to-face meet?
Well, one of the things that happens when we first meet someone, and this is something that all relationships experience, is we go into a period called limerence, the honeymoon period. And whether it's a new job or whether it's a new relationship or a new friendship, and everything goes along smoothly. And so chances are, if that first initial contact happens, and it's successful, and that initial connection's made, you know, everything then tends to flow smoothly for a period of time, and you know, it's where our hormones are surging and everything's happy and great. And then the honeymoon period ends and we suddenly realise that our partner really does snore really loudly or burps or farts an awful lot. But it's at that beginning we go into limerence where everything's fine.
What about the, I guess, nowadays people like to express themselves on social media quite a lot, and that comes with relationships as well, putting their troubles in their relationship out on social media and having everyone comment on it. Have you had much experience dealing with, couples and impacts that social media has had on that?
Yes, and also witness it on Facebook, where I think, gee, you're sharing that. It's whether both parties are comfortable having their life shared on social media. And what I'm often dealing with is where one party is sharing information and the other party doesn't want information shared on social media. And whether it's appropriate to do or not is about negotiating that within the relationship.
One of the key negotiation things is around history, I guess, and disclosure of history. When's a good time to start disclosing history to its fullest extent, shall we say?
What do you mean by disclosing history, Andrew?
I've had 500 like criminal records. I've had 500 like partners in the last 300 days. That sort of thing.
That sort of thing. I think it depends on the two people. Somebody who's had 500 partners in 300 days hopefully would be possibly meeting somebody who'd be able to cope with that information. But, of course, it's about choosing the strength of the information and is it appropriate for that person to hear at that point in time. I mean, it comes down to choosing our audience, I think. But then invariably our friends normally break the news that we've done that fairly soon in a new relationship anyway. I think that's a fine line. You know, sometimes the information we disclose can scare the potential partner away, but then if that's part of who we are, you know, I think it's important that we're able to be open and honest and we're accepted for that.
What are the other key words of wisdom you have for people who are and perhaps they're they've been in a long-term relationship and that's ended and they're starting out dating again. What are some key advice for those people?
Take it slowly. Don't rush things with yourself. Give yourself space and give yourself the time to basically find your feet and to take risks. And, you know, it's one of the important things in life that we do go and take risks. And meeting new people, whether it's a potential partner or just friends, there's always that risk of rejection, yet we also have to embrace that risk and enjoy that risk to a certain degree as well.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Chris Fox, we'll let you get back to the ASHAM conference.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting in the car park outside of the conference dinner at the moment.
Well, go and have a chat to other people.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Chris Fox. He has been our resident psychosexual and relationship therapist on occasions. Great to hear him again. You are on Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here along with Tim. And we have Matt, Craig and Stephen in the studio with us talking about first impressions. And Tim, we've had a couple of messages through on 0427JOY949 and also on air at joy.org.au.
Yes, we certainly have. This one's from Kai. Hey there, recent Joy convert, loving the show.
Thanks, Kai.
Just a message for Dr. Chris. After seeing a guy for nearly 2 months, what's a good level of conversation we should be having? I feel like things can be a tad awkward.
Oh, well, Kai, unfortunately, Dr. Chris has had to duck off. Craig, Stephen, Matt, any
insight?
Very, very, very high-level words of advice for Kai.
I always go by the awkward silence rule. Like, if you're a couple of weeks in and there are still awkward silences and you can't really fill that gap, or if there is a gap and it's completely unawkward, then it's fine. But then I think if you can't really fill it and it's awkward and uncomfortable, then, you know, you got to figure out what's up.
Okay.
How do you know if it's awkward? Just to feel?
If your mind is buzzing, trying to think, oh, how can I fill this awkward silence? Like, if you're comfortable sitting in silence with someone, then you know that they're pretty cool.
Mm. And Craig, what about yours?
I don't really do awkward because it takes two to be awkward and I just power through. So
you just keep talking.
I kind of do, but if they're not interesting, then I don't really have an inclination to see them again anytime soon. So I guess for me, if it was starting to be awkward after 2 months, I think it would probably fizzle pretty quickly after that.
Mm. And what about you, Matt?
A little bit the same with Craig. The only sort of thing I might potentially do is see if there's something, a fun activity that you both can do, which maybe try and break some of the ice. Sort of like, I remember once doing a bread making course. So we spent the morning talking, learning stuff. So,
or maybe the other guy or girl prefers to have some silence sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like my boyfriend loves silence. He will sit at the table playing his video game while we're having dinner. Or, yeah. So hope he's listening.
Is that a tone
tip? I mean, and that brings
he's
us...
He's lovely.
And Kai's brought a good question up, and it was something we're going to talk about a little bit. It's about, you know, how long do you... If the first impressions are not working and you've gone on the first couple of dates, how do you break it off? Is it easier early? Is it just like ripping off a band-aid and say, this isn't working out?
I always take dating as one meeting at a time. So I meet someone. If we have a good time, I'd want to meet them again. And if there comes a point where I couldn't really care less if I saw them again, then I don't. And, you know, I just don't make time for them. And if they ask me why, then I'll give them whatever reason is appropriate. But, yeah, for me, it's, you know, meeting by meeting. And then, you know, once you build up enough of a relationship with them, you're like, well, I kind of want to see you every day now. And, you know, that happens over, you know, a long period of time. So.
And is it okay to break it off by SMS?
No, I've only ever done that once, and that was because the other person asked me to do it that way.
Sorry, what?
I was breaking up with my girlfriend and I said, we'll talk about this tomorrow. And she said, no, if you're going to break up with me, just break up with me now. And I was like, okay. All right then.
Okay.
Or fax.
Oh, to do it. Nice.
One thing we've sort of skipped straight to the breakup almost, but let's backpedal a little bit.
Sorry, we're not all jaded.
No. Sex. Is it a case that you know? I think gay boys are pretty notorious. You fuck first, talk later. Is that a good way to go?
I think that's underselling us. But that's all. I don't know. There's absolutely no problem with sex, and there's no problem with having a lot of it, and there's no problem with exploring your sexuality. And actually, I find with me, I have an emotions box. Don't make a joke about that word. I have an emotions box and then a sex box, and I'll know I found the perfect guy when he can have a foot in each box. But sometimes I just end up just throwing him into one or the other, like because I so overly sexualize the guy that I can't form deep emotions, or like I form such deep emotions with a guy that I can't see them as sexual. So it can be really difficult for me.
So if they're a doozy in bed, would you go on a second date if the company's good?
Definitely. And I've had relationships last a couple of months where they end up being just sexless because I just enjoy their company and then there's just no sex.
But isn't that just a friendship?
Potentially, yeah. And I suppose that's the weird thing about being gay, that you can be in a relationship with your best friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. Craig?
I met my last partner at a sauna. And I had no intentions of dating anyone, and it was just sex for a very long time. And then he started having conversations with me afterwards. And then after a little while, I was like, oh, he's a bit of an alright guy. And then we started dating. But that's not how I've always done it. I guess for me, it's always about, you know, the emotional connection that I form with someone. And sometimes that happens before sex and sometimes it happens after sex. But for me, what's really important is that connection. And whenever that's made, it's made.
And Matt?
I don't think you really can judge and guess any way it's going to happen. So, like, I've had relationships which have started from a one-night stand. I've had other relationships where we held off for a couple of weeks. I had one first date. I generally, as a general rule, try not to shag on the first date. But there was one guy that I did like, and I took him home, and the sex was disastrous, and there was no second date.
Fair enough. That happens. And is it a case that have any of you tried dating multiple partners at the same time? Jack,
yep.
Yes, Craig. Yep. Craig,
yeah, I'm a serial dater. I am not going to lie about that. I said before I love going on first dates, and I have definitely dated multiple people at the same time. Sorry.
How many?
I think probably the most at one time was about five.
Five?
In the 1 week?
Over about 2 months.
Okay.
Okay.
As in all five of them over the 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. I was just wondering how you could coordinate things.
Multitasking, it's a skill.
Men aren't generally very good at that.
So, as we wrap things up, what's the... let's go around the room. And, Stephen, we'll start with you. What's been your biggest dating disaster, do you think?
I don't know. My dating disasters usually incorporate a douching disaster. Which
I've discussed on this show previously.
We like to cross-promote.
Yep, exactly. You can read my article.
There's a podcast.
There's a podcast for Hide and Seek. About douching. And, but that's about sex. No real disasters. I mean, like, I've done the multiple dating thing. None of them have found out about each other, which is pretty good. The biggest disaster is if their visa, like, if they get an extension on it. And that's... And that upsets me a bit. So we'll leave it at that.
Craig?
No disasters can come to mind. I don't do awkward, so I just power through, pretend like nothing is a problem and you know, there are times when you're like, I'm really bored and I'll make my excuses and leave, but no disasters, I don't think.
Yeah. And Matt?
There's one that always comes to mind. It was the second date. I was waiting at the restaurant. They arrived late, drunk, with their fag hag. They had the most drunken conversation between each other, which kept rotating around. I made my excuse and left. They kept texting me for the next 3 weeks, wanting to always catch up. And then I ran into them 3 months later, and they asked me if we'd met before.
Oh!
And Andrew, what about you?
Me? Gosh, as I said, it's been a while. Look, I think from what I recall, I can remember a date once where, you know, we caught up for coffee and it was just terrible, but I was horny. So you sort of, you know, one of those, just shag them anyway. Those sort of ones are always terrible, but, they occasionally get a good one. But it's been a while.
I think my worst one was we did a weekend away kind of romantic thing.
That's a big commitment. Mm. I've done that before as well. Yes.
It was a bad idea.
Yes.
We got to the hotel room. He goes, me and my boyfriend have decided to get back together.
Oh.
I said, okay, we're going back to Melbourne now.
No, I think I went a weekend away probably 2 or 3 dates in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good idea.
Well, the good thing was I took someone else back instead.
Well, hopefully tonight we've given you a bit of a taste and a bit of insights into first impressions. Big thank you to Matt, Craig and Stephen. Thank you so much, boys.
You're welcome.
Thanks, boys.
And before we wrap things up, Tim, we should mention the Prep Now forum. It's a forum to examine how PrEP could work in the fight against HIV. Tuesday, the 22nd of September, 6 for a 6:30 start at Herbert Smith Freehills on level 42 at 101 Collins Street. It's Victorian AIDS Council and Asham have brought leading HIV clinician and expert on HIV PrEP, Professor Bob Grant, to Australia for a series of discussions on PrEP and HIV.
Apparently, he is amazing.
He is from the University of California, San Francisco, and Chief Medical Officer at San Francisco AIDS Foundation. Of course, he's been instrumental in the use in the introduction of PrEP over in San Francisco. So he's going to talk a lot about what's happened in San Francisco and really compare that to what's happening here in Melbourne. The panellists will also include Associate Professor Edwina Wright. So if you want information, go to the Victorian AIDS Council website, vac.org.au, to find out more. Or you can RSVP directly, events@vac.org.au is the email address. So that is next Tuesday, the 22nd of September, here in Mel, in the CBD at level 42, 101 Collins Street. So, get along. Tim, that's all we've got time for tonight. A big thank you to Di from OzKink Fest. Don't forget, OzKink Fest kicks off on Saturday with Fetish Expo down at the Fitzroy Town Hall. Over 40 exhibitors from shoes to corsets and whips and chains. So get along to that. There is an after party following from 8:30 p.m. Then on Friday the 25th of September is Hellfire Resurrection. And there's a weekend of workshops across the 26th and 27th of September. So ozkinkfest.com is where you go to find out all that information. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Good night.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.